There it is. Well, it's time for our terrorism update with Da Bomb, Mubeen Sheikh. He's an ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative. He's the author of Undercover Jihadi. I can't believe we play this song every time. You want to join us right now as Da Bomb gives us the truth about the latest acts of terrorism in this crazy world that we live in. He's a good guy. Dude, we got to hang out more. Why don't you move up to where all the white people live, hey?
Not today.
Oh, man. So what's going on, Mubeen Sheikh, hey? What's going on? Have you been addressing the UN lately?
Not the UN. I did address the Global Coalition to Defeat ISIS. It was 66 countries, 104 participants, State Department level, you know.
The huge. Do you ever get nervous? Like, especially when you see, like, a little red dot that comes across in your center mass? Do you get nervous?
Never. I'm ready to meet my maker, brother.
You are, too. You are, too. Okay, so the last time... serious question for you, man. The last time you were actually, I don't know, a little worried about something that was going down in the world of terrorism. Because you see this from a very different perspective than the rest of us. Your insider's point of view skews things. And I would imagine you just kind of roll with a lot of it. Well, when was the last time that Mubeen Sheikh was actually disturbed at something that went down in the world of terrorism?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I have developed a tolerance of some sort. And for a lot of people who are in this field of work that I'm in, Muslim or not, we're just always on the verge of everything, you know, going upside down, right? So yeah. I mean, it's like a running joke almost that, well, let's see what, you know, you wake up in the morning, it's like, okay, who blew up what today, you know? So that's the approach that we take, a little bit of dark humor. I'm sorry, but
yeah, no, you're on the right show for that
mechanism.
Okay, so someone said to me recently that, and I want to know if this is true from your point of view, that terrorist attacks weren't even a thing outside of the Islamic countries until George W. Bush. True story?
Mostly true. Mostly true. You'd have to kind of go back to, I mean, it depends on how far we want to go back. But if you look at, since, you know, it's yours is a religious show, and I love talking about these religious points, you know, the establishment of Israel was a big catalyst in one sense.
Right.
Because... They were really just socialists and Marxists who were in power in the Arab/Muslim world, and that's because of the influence of the Axis powers, World War One, World War Two, and a lot of the influence from, you know, Marxism and socialism came into the Arab countries. So for a long time, Arab rulers were pan-Arab socialists, also known as Ba'athists. And for, if you look, you know, in the late 40s when Israel was established, all of the wars in the 50s, 60s, and 70s that the Arab countries fought against Israel, they were not religious wars in the sense of the rulers being overtly in Islamic identity. They were socialists. And my theory, and some others have suggested, is that a lot of the religious zealot types saw the failure of that war and pinned it on the lack of religiosity, right? This is usually what happens. Whenever something bad happens, the religious types are like, yeah, it's because we don't have enough God in the schools, or, you know, something along those lines, right? And so I think that was a catalyst for a lot of the religiosity to kind of go to the next level, and now certainly people wanting to replace the socialism of the region with Islamism. And that's when you start to see, really from the 60s, and then certainly in the 70s, when this thing starts to accelerate. If you look at the 79 invasion of Soviets in Afghanistan, you know, the CIA, the Saudi General Intelligence Directorate, and the Pakistani ISI all collaborated in churning out these guys from the madrasas who are just ignoramus village mullahs, right? And basically convinced them to fight the godless atheist heathens of the communists, and then right after that is when suddenly all these mullahs had weapons and training and safe zones, and it's just accelerated since then. So if you really look at the first Gulf War in the early 90s, the other Gulf War, I guess, in the later 90s, that's when these things really start to accelerate. And then, of course, the Afghanistan War 2001 was the big door opening, but the 2003 invasion of Iraq is what really just lit everything afire.
Okay, so I came across an article that said that Islamic militants are now four times stronger than during 9/11 terrorist attacks. A new study has said this. I sent you that link. I'm not sure if you had a chance to look at it. Do you think that's a legit thing? Is that real? Is that true?
It's real. It's true.
Because I remember you saying on the show that ISIS has been kicked to the curb so badly that they're not really a player anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're not out completely, and they will resurface again. I mean, you know, in Iraq in particular, there are, you know, widespread accusations of corruption. One of the reasons why ISIS was able to, you know, take large swaths of land in Iraq is because of that corruption and incompetence. But, you know, they've since kind of, gotten better at the counterterrorism fight, if you will, and so... For that reason, ISIS is largely down, but definitely not out. I wanted to come back to what you said earlier about, I mean, you know, the Sunni militants being four times as much. Look, I think the reason for this largely is because the failures of the war on terror, right? And for a number of reasons, right? On one hand, everything that the West was doing wrong, okay? You know, not really taking care for civilian casualties where they could have done a better job. You know, this just plays into the extremist recruiting narratives, right? They say, look, these guys are bombing your people. Do the people look? The people have been bombed. So they say, okay, 1 + 1 = 2. But on the other hand, remember, the West, has to follow all these rules of engagement. You know, it is not as easy as just calling in a strike wherever you want, whenever you want. So that's also something, you know, that it kind of tied their hand behind their back, because the terrorists don't have to follow any rules. There's no transparency. There's no checks and balances. There's no free press. Whereas with the West, all of those things are present and is always a source of pressure on the West in that sense. So
okay.
On one hand, yeah. On the other hand, not so much.
All right. This is our terrorism update with the bomb. Yeah, that's what we call him, Mubin Sheikh. He's an ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative. He's the author of Undercover Jihadi. Another question for you again, something I came across recently in the news. Old people are calling for boycotts. I always kind of chuckle about boycotts. I just chuckle. Boycott Facebook, boycott Google, until they do more to counter terrorism. Your thoughts, Mubin Sheikh?
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, people are so addicted to social media these days. And my joke with social media is how you get people online who are, you know, all about government surveillance. But meanwhile, you're posting everything on Facebook. You know, where you went to eat, who you went to eat with. Here's a picture of what I ate. And by the way, look through my photos for what my family members look like, my children look like. Look in the background of my photos. Heck, if you're quick enough, you might even catch my street address. You know, so it's like this love-hate relationship we have with social media, right? And, I mean, even with Facebook selling off personal information to private companies, it's Facebook is such a freaking cesspool. You know, I mean, it is. I'm on it, unfortunately. I have to be on it, but it's just such a cesspool. And, look, the reality is that extremists have been using social media for several years. I watched with my own eyes, Twitter, was used by extremists to not just plot attacks, recruit, do all sorts of things, right? And it took them way too long to cancel accounts or suspend accounts.
Yeah.
And Facebook is no different. Even with Google, Google owns YouTube now, I believe it is. And there's still stuff you can find on YouTube. So, unfortunately, you know, the material goes up faster than these companies can shut them down, and even then it takes a long time. So I don't know, man. I don't think we'll be able to boycott them. It's just we got to be smarter about how we use social media in general.
Okay, I want to ask you about Brexit and terrorism in just a second, but you were talking about how we post everything up there, and if you're quick enough, you could maybe see the address of your place, right? Like private information. Tim, do you remember me telling you one time that Candace, my friend Candace Cameron Bure, played DJ in Full House, accidentally posted something on her desk, and it showed her address and her cell phone number?
Yes, I do remember saying that.
Can you imagine?
No.
No, I never have that problem. People don't care about
but
my
then all
address.
The phone calls she got afterwards, that has nothing to do with you, right?
No. Anyway, so up next on the show, we're going to chat with a Welshman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman. And we're going to talk about Brexit, because I was just over in Europe for a few weeks, and it was Brexit, Brexit, Brexit everywhere. Everyone was talking about Brexit. And I want to know, just from your point of view, in closing, Mubeen Sheikh, I don't even know what the question is. Brexit and terrorism. Anything we need to be concerned about?
In closing, translation, keep it brief because the time's almost up. Look, I mean, it is something definitely to worry about. The alt-right has been very active on this front. Russia is actively supporting Brexit ventures. I'm not saying, of course, everyone that supports Brexit is in the Russian agent, but there's a huge link between the two. It's going to be catastrophic for Britain. It's already wrecking the economy. And it was based on lies, right? It was based on this idea that they were going to pump hundreds of millions of dollars into the National Health Service, which is completely false. And people voted on a referendum based on lies, right? So now they're realizing this is not good. And you will see more of the far right active in Brexit protests. It's obvious to see, and we're just going to see a lot more of it.
Yeah. Dude, I always love chatting with you. You are an entertaining human being and a great communicator. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mubeen Sheikh on the show again. It's our terrorism update. He's an ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative, author of Undercover Jihadi. When's your next book coming out, man? I'm sick of talking about that book.
I know. I'm working on it.
All right.
Soon.
Maybe you just write down the transcribe all of our interviews and turn that into a book. I think that would be dynamic, Mubeen.
I will be sending you a waiver for all rights and royalties to that transcript. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Take care, dude. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.